It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines. Chris Cantwell will be weighing in on entrepreneurship and small businesses. And small to mid-sized businesses to buy and sell. And we'll talk with Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, which is an oil and gas investment banking firm with offices here in Denver as well as in Houston to find out what's going on in the energy markets. And then this is our health and hydrocarbons show where it, you know, affordable and reliable and efficient energy, we take it for granted. It's like, where does it come from exactly? You go to the grocery store, where does the food come from? Does it just show up? Does the electricity, when we plug in our phones, does it just come out of the outlet? It's no. There's a lot that goes into affordable and efficient and reliable energy. And that actually has lifted so many people out of poverty. So we'll talk with Tom Petrie about that in segments 3 and 4. So we'll go through some headlines here in just a moment. Always like to say thank you. You know, being grateful is a good thing. And I want to let you know how appreciative I am of this team I get to work with. And that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, as well as each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I appreciate each and every one of you. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. You should be able to engage in the battle of ideas. That's why we do this show, is so that hopefully we can help you get a handle on your talking points so that you can engage with your friends, your family, and your colleagues about these important issues. My friends, we are at a time for choosing. This election cycle coming up in November, and it's coming fast and furious, is one of the most important in the history of America. We will be choosing between destruction of property, defacement, taking people's property, division, or prosperity and liberty and freedom, moving towards that American ideal. And that is what is going to be on the ballot. This Democrat Party that we have in America today is not the Democrat Party of your grandparents or your parents or JFK. This Democrat Party is moving over to socialism, where socialism is basically through rules, regulations, taxation, government controls most everything in our lives. Now, communism is where government just owns all that. So they're very close. And we have seen this march towards bigger and bigger government. And we see what happens with that. And most people, I don't think, like that. But we need to engage. We need to make sure that people that care about the American idea, that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness given to us by God, that, in fact, people don't sit home on their couch and not vote. It is really an important thing to vote. Steve, you will be voting this November, correct?
Oh, man, what a setup. So, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote early and often.
Oh, that's Chicago.
No. Wrong city. Sorry. Yes, I'm going to vote. And, you know, every time that phrase is uttered, this is the most important election of our lifetime. I kind of straighten up and said, wait a minute. The last election was the most important election of our lifetime. What's going on?
And, yeah, it was.
And you delve into it a little bit and you know why. We don't have the time to, you know, discuss it right here and now. But yeah, there's a reason for that.
Well, it is. And so we need to engage people up until this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. A lot of people, you know, we were clicking along. We were almost at, you know, basically full employment. People were feeling very prosperous. People were able to go to their jobs. They were able to build their businesses, take their kids to, you know, swimming lessons and dance lessons. And, you know, just, you know, life was good. And then all of a sudden, we now are, you know, totally disrupted. People have lost their jobs. People are losing their businesses because of, this reaction to this COVID-19 Wuhan virus. And so we suddenly realized that people that used to say, hey, I'm not into politics, politics is into you. So speaking of politics, Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, you know them. They're I'm a Trumpster Radio. They are on KLZ on Sunday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. And we are going to be rolling out their I'm a Trumpster 42-foot bus. And so you need to stay tuned this week. For what is when that's going to be. Thank you to all of you that have contributed. We raised the $10,000 to get this this bus, the vinyl wrap around that. Reggie and Johnny have been putting tons of money into this. 98% of all the stuff that they've been doing, they are funding themselves. And they are guys, they've been in the entertainment business, the black entertainment business, the hip-hop business, for many, many years. They actually had the number one hit in Europe, but they didn't know it because somebody ripped it off and distributed it there, and they took all the money. And so intellectual property rights is very important to them, and when they heard Donald Trump talking about intellectual property rights, they said, he's our man. So stay tuned, because we're going to have something very exciting happening this week, Steve.
Hey, I kind of got distracted here to get Chris on board here, or on the board here. He's coming up shortly. I wanted to say, in your lead up there, it's like we almost had, you know, unemployment, blah, 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 and we were just sailing along, and then something happened, and the way you build it up, I want to say, almost like it was planned.
You know, it was, a plandemic or a scamdemic.
Plandemic, yeah. All right. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, and you know what? I was talking with some people last night, and the Hong Kong flu, and Patty had brought this up. This was, I think, in 1968, 69, and it actually killed more people than COVID-19, although I don't think we can trust the numbers that we're seeing with the COVID-19 CDC, CDPHE numbers here. But the Hong Kong flu and it killed more people, and so on a percentage basis, it was more deadly than COVID-19 has been so far. But do you remember the big shutdown in 1968-69, Steve? Do you remember when we shut down the economy and people lost their businesses because of the Hong Kong flu? Do you happen to remember that?
Well.
Oh, yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's up with this? So let's jump over here. Chris Cantwell is one of my valued partners. He is with Transworld Business Advisors. He's in the business of buying or helping people buy and sell their dreams, buying and selling opportunity. Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Steve. Hope you're both doing fantastic.
We are. And you and I did a podcast last week that I would highly recommend that people listen to. It had to do with the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. And you brought something up, Chris, that I thought was really interesting on how much money went to small businesses versus bigger businesses. And then also the percentage. I thought that that was a very telling figure, Chris Cantwell. So unpack that for our listeners, please.
Yeah, so there's a bipartisan. It's supported by two Democrats and two Republicans. It's a bill that's out there called the Paycheck Protection Small Business Forgiveness Act. And essentially, Kim, and we talked about this on the podcast, right? We know that We can go back and debate the whole PPP and the government, you know, spending trillions and trillions of our money and our future, our kids' futures money and all that, and go back and forth all day and, as I say, armchair quarterback the PPP loans. But at the end of the day, the PPP loans are out there, and businesses have them, and the banks lent them, and nobody knows what to do. The banks don't know what to do. The business owners don't know what to do. When we're trying to sell businesses, and the market's been good, we're still moving a lot of businesses, the question comes down to these PPP loans, and the seller says, well, how will I know if I get this forgiven? And the buyer says, are there liens that are holding up the sale of this transaction related to the PPP loans? And the banks say, well, we don't know what to do. And, you know, we got another 6 months to sort this out. So this bill came together, as a solution to these PPP loans. And essentially what it is, it's called the Paycheck Protection Small Business Forgiveness Act. It would make loans that are no greater than $150,000 fully forgivable by filling out a one-page form. And when we're talking about the numbers, there's approximately 3.7 million PPP loans of $150,000 or less, which account for 85% of all the PPP approved loans. But it's only 26% of the funds delivered. So if we think about it, and you think about the airline industry and the billions and billions that they have, or hotel industry, all these big businesses that truly suffered, that's where most of the pot went. And there could be some more accountability. You know, I'm talking about the Main Street businesses out there. These are the mom and pop shops that are their family businesses that borrowed 150 and under. And I think the average number of most of those businesses under 150,000, it's like $75,000 that the majority of these businesses borrowed. So the banks don't know what to do. They can't go in and audit these businesses. They're not prepared to be auditors to determine if they spent it the right way. The business owners spent it the right way because they were told, listen, you got to use it to pay your employees, and you can use it for rent and utilities and things like that. And if you don't, then you're not going to get it back. So I'm sure there's some scandalous business owners out there that, you know, went out and bought boats with these funds. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to pay them back. So if that's what they did, then they're on the hook. But everybody else, and I'm sure it's a huge majority, said, okay, all I got to do is pay my employees and pay for my utilities. Yeah, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it. And then now we're saying, well, you know, we got to come audit and we got to do all this work. And it's just crazy. So this act just says, hey, listen, you borrow anything 150 and under, one-page form, sign it, forgiven, done.
You know, Chris Cantwell, I was thinking, I read a piece, and I've got to find it this weekend. And it was just I don't know quite what to call it. It's not a movement, but it's a strategy, I guess, if you will, trying to move America more towards socialism. One of the things that you have to get rid of in socialism is that big, broad middle class. Because you'll have the elites and you'll have everybody else. And the great thing about the American idea is this idea of entrepreneurship. And you see that in small businesses. And so small businesses have, you know, helped people create wealth. You help people sell those businesses to people that want to continue them and create wealth for themselves as well. So it's this big, big middle class. It's the small business, people that are putting in 60, 70, 80 hours a week to make these businesses go. These are the businesses that were hit the hardest with this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. Now, absolutely, you kind of have to go, you know, is there a correlation? You know, I think we'll find out. We will find out on this. But how is it that, like, the big box stores were essential, but the little stores weren't? I mean, how is it the government made that choice? And so I've been thinking a lot about the podcast that you and I did. And, you know, I think most of these people, most Main Street people, they play by the rules. So, you know, I'm like you. We can debate the whole trillions and trillions of dollars. We'll put that over there. But I think that you've convinced me that, you know, let's let this go ahead and just go through, because most of these people are people that play by the rules, and to have these roadblocks in front of them to buy and sell these businesses, we need to give them some kind of relief, Chris.
Yeah, Kim, and we talk about this on the podcast. You know, these are the businesses that are hurt the most day after day after day by government and liberals that say that, you know, these small business owners are corrupt and they're taking advantage of their employees, and we have to force them to have these huge minimum wages outside of the market, and we've got to force them to pay their employees benefits, and we have to force them to give them paid time off when they decide they don't want to come to work, and just relentless. If we went through all the bills and Denver legislation last year, every one of them is an anti-business bill.
Mm-hmm.
And my point to all that was, let's give them a break for once.
Yeah, and I think you've convinced me, Chris Cantwell. So be sure and check out that podcast. It's on the website, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Chris Cantwell, you are in that business, helping people buy and sell their dreams. And so how can people reach you?
Yep, if you've got questions, if you own a business and you've got questions about the value of your business, or if it's available to take it to market, or what that looks like, or, you know, the PPP loans, I can help to some degree. There's still a lot of questions out there. But, yeah, give me a call at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all my contact info on the KimMunson.com website.
You got it. So, Chris Cantwell, we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kim.
You have a great day. And I just realized I did not do our quote for today, and I think the Avalanche are in the playoffs. So I have Raymond Bourque. You know, Bourque played with, was an Olympian with Canada and became nearly synonymous with the Boston Bruins franchise. He played there for 21 seasons and became Boston's longest serving captain. Bourque finished his career with the Colorado Avalanche, with whom he won his only Stanley Cup in his final NHL game. He was born in 1960. He said, "Goals live on the other side of obstacles and challenges. Be relentless in pursuit of those goals, especially in the face of obstacles. Along the way, make no excuses and place no blame." Before we go to break, Hooters Restaurants is another one of my great partners, and they are doing a really great, compassionate fundraiser this week. It's over this week. It's a fundraiser for Sacred Heart House of Denver, which is a local charity. Sacred Heart House of Denver helps prevent single women and single moms and their children from homelessness. Guests will be able to donate at any of the five Hooters Colorado locations by donating and getting their name or company's name placed on the wall at Hooters. And Patty and I, we did that. Rounding up their change on their tab. And any donation of $15 or more will get a free fried pickle appetizer or $5 off their bill if they don't want that. So be sure and check out order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. We have a very important headline that you need to be aware of.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as the podcast and the op-eds. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Patty found this. The Colorado Sun reported this, that Jared Polis is taking big money from private donors to fund key positions in Colorado's governor's office. It says, to deliver on his campaign promises and policy priorities, Colorado Governor Jared Polis is relying on wealthy donors and major advocacy organizations to pay the bill. The Democrat governor is accepting more than $1 million from donors, nonprofits, and foundations to pay salaries and costs associated with six top policy positions, according to a review of financial records and other documents by the Colorado Sun in partnership with CBS4 Denver. The governor's special advisor on climate change, tasked with moving Colorado to 100% renewable energy and hitting pollution reduction targets, is funded through the U.S. Climate Alliance with money from a foundation backed by the grandson of Walmart's founder. His special advisor, so Polis' special advisor on immigrants and refugees, is paid with money from the Emerson Collective, a social impact firm led by the widow of Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. The office's special advisor on early childhood is funded by two other foundations that are leading advocates on the issue. The three other donor-backed positions focus on economic stability, an aging population, and people with disabilities. And additional donations pay for various projects and initiatives. Taken together, private dollars are driving many of Polis's administration top priorities in the first 18 months of his term, all without disclosure to the public until now. Now, my friends, I've actually read some other bills, and I can't remember exactly what initiative it was. But it, in that particular piece of legislation, it had, in order to push that agenda forward, the same thing was put into that legislation that said that you could have private organizations and nonprofits fund some of that as well. This is not the way government is supposed to work, Producer Steve. There's supposed to be transparency. There's supposed to be accountability to the people. And this is like buying influence, if you will, to push forward this agenda. You wonder how it happens? Well, the Colorado Sun has actually uncovered this. This should be trumpeted all over the state of Colorado. I'm not sure that it will be, but it is very important information, Steve.
This story is almost like the an apple tree that's just weighted down with fruit. There's not enough time to pick it all. Everything you just said is so pertinent. And then a little bit further down, there's too much here. In his 2018 campaign, the wealthy technology entrepreneur and former congressman, that being the governor, spent more than $23 million from his own pocket and limited campaign donations to $200, all to demonstrate he wouldn't be beholden to powerful special interests. How does that square? How does that line up?
Well, it plays well. And as I've mentioned, from a public relations standpoint,
it plays well before the election.
Yeah,
yes.
It plays well before the election. From a public relations standpoint, people say, well, that's great. That means that he's not going to be influenced by special interests. Well, now the Colorado Sun has uncovered that he is being influenced by special interests. And he's not the only one. Actually, Governor Hickenlooper did this as well. And Governor Ritter did this. And it says that Governor Owens did this as well. But I don't think any of them to the magnitude that Polis is doing this. And then I think Hickenlooper comes in with a close second on that. It says I lost my place. It says other Colorado governors accepted outside money to pay for positions in their offices. Democrat Governor Roy Romer, a three-term governor first elected in 1986, used private dollars to fund his early childhood initiative. Republican Governor Bill Owens and Democrat Governor Bill Ritter similarly tapped foundations for positions, according to former aides. The handful of privately funded positions in Polis administration is on par with Ritter and Hickenlooper. The Polis administration is drawing a line when it comes to donations to his office, refraining from accepting direct donations from corporations, which is a reversal from the controversial practice of the Hickenlooper administration, which took money from the oil and gas industry and others. So I find it so interesting. Actually, you know, it's the big bad corporations that he says that he's not going to accept money from. But these nonprofits, these other organizations, they're referred to as NGOs, they're non-governmental organizations. They don't pay taxes. It doesn't mean that they don't make money. They don't take money. They just don't have to pay money on that tax. They don't have to pay taxes on that. And then they can then use that money, as we see, they're influencing policy right here in Colorado. And so we wonder how we get to this big lurch to the left. We had former State Senator Kevin Lundberg on yesterday regarding this very important book, and it is Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Lurch to the Radical Left and Why America Should Care. And actually, you might check them out, and it would be most helpful. This is really a grassroots effort to go to FreedomFi and maybe give them $5 to get this book published. But it uncovers what is going on. We've had this lurch to the left, and we are seeing now that, in essence, we've got these NGOs, these non-government organizations that are buying influence in the governor's office. And with very little transparency, with really no accountability to the people or to the legislature. And this is a very important story. We need to keep this front and center so that you guys all understand that. We're going to be talking with Jason McBride here in just a moment with Presidential Wealth Management. He and his colleagues over at Presidential can help you with your economic well-being. You know, it's always good to make your plans during times of strength. The market, the stock market, has been very strong. And so this is now a good time, I think, to sit down, take your temperature with Jason and his colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management. The phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason McBride, I did not get to pay any attention to what happened in the market yesterday. So what happened?
Well, yesterday was kind of a mixed bag, Kim, but I think for the most part, it was good overall. The Dow gained about 357 points. That was a nice move. That got the Dow above 27,580, which had been the high that it hit all the way back on June 8th. So after that, it fell back a bit. It's kind of been sideways in a base for about 8 weeks, and yesterday it managed to break above that number, which is a good sign of strength. So, you know, from a chart point of view, there's really no resistance until we get up to the old highs, but that's a ways to go. So fundamental news could hit us there. NASDAQ was actually down a little bit. We've been seeing a bit of this for the last 2 to 3 weeks, where the NASDAQ had the huge moonshot pretty much nonstop. I think it got a bit overextended. So it's taken a little bit of a rest here, while the Dow and some of the more less techie full indexes are playing catch up.
Okay. So, and Jason, when you refer to the Dow, is that like the Dow Industrial, like the big companies, or what is that exactly?
Well, that's a good question, Kim. The Dow 30 is basically, it's just made up of 30 stocks that are supposed to be a pretty good cross section of the American economy. I mean, back in the old days, it was, more of like your mainline, old school, blue chip. It didn't include a lot of technology. It's been updated to some degree. The Dow does include Apple. It includes Microsoft. So you do have some tech in there. And then people say the Dow is not worth watching because it's only 30 stocks, but I think the 30 stocks in there are pretty good, cross-section of our economy.
So it's a pretty good barometer. And then the S&P 500, is that more the growth stocks or NASDAQ? How does that work with those two?
Well, I think the NASDAQ has is more technology. You see more growth-oriented stocks listed on the NASDAQ, technology, biotech, some innovative stuff. But that doesn't mean the S&P doesn't have them, too. The S&P is 500 stocks, again, that are supposed to represent a fairly good cross-section of our economy. But you end up with a lot of the movement in the S&P being dictated by just some of the biggest stocks in there, because it's a capitalization weighted index.
Okay.
So the companies that are actually the biggest have the most weight. So you'll see years where the index is up. You say the S&P went way up, my stocks didn't go up. Well, if you look, almost all of the movement was just from a few stocks, and the rest of them might not have done much.
Okay, fascinating.
So it's not your fault, is what I'm saying.
good. So, Jason McBride, I gave all the information, Presidential Wealth Management. You guys are really treasured partners of the show. And now, as things are strong, this is such a good time. Sit down and just take your temperature, do your risk assessment. You guys have been, you've got a lot of experience over at Presidential, so would highly recommend that people reach out to you.
Well, I do appreciate that. Kim, I had to mention one more thing that I find somewhat humorous. We do have the futures are up 300 this morning on the Dow. It's being attributed to Vladimir Putin claims that Russia has created a coronavirus vaccine.
You know what? I saw that headline and I was going to mention that to you as well. And I'm like, well, why don't you go first and then I'll see how that works. Actually.
But it is good news, you know, since Trump's just doing Putin's bidding, apparently. Again, that's becoming the story. Perhaps we'll be able to make the same announcement soon if Putin will let us. I sure hope so.
Well, stay tuned. We'll find out. So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Tom Petrie. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show. Hydrocarbons, efficient, affordable, and reliable energy is what powers our lives and has actually brought more people out of poverty in third world countries. It is a really good thing, and we need to actually celebrate that. And so we'll be talking about the oil and gas markets as well as some of the great things about affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, our op-eds, and go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Tom Petrie. He is in the oil and gas investment banking business, and he is an expert in what is happening in these markets. His firm is Petrie Partners. Tom Petrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice as well. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon show. And affordable, reliable, and efficient energy is what really powers our lives. It's brought so many people out of poverty and makes our lives better. And it's really key for people in third world countries. It seems that we would want to help them have affordable, reliable, and efficient energy because then they can have clean water, their air is better. And it's one of those things that I don't think people talk enough about, Tom Petrie.
That's a good point, and it's about 20% of the global population. It's been estimated 1.5 billion people fit in that category where they've been looking forward to the benefits to have reliable oil and gas replacing dung and wood alternatives and a real upgrade in their quality of life.
Well, and when women have clean water, they don't have to go and haul water. When they don't have to go out and collect fuel sources, it frees them up to do other things. And so women and children in third world countries, a reliable, affordable, and efficient energy really helps them to start to move on to new opportunities. And so it seems to me like that is something that we want to make sure that we are moving out to, as you mentioned, the 1.5 billion people in the world that don't have that right now.
That's true. It's we really should better appreciate where we've come from over the last century. And it's a story that certainly rising expectations in the rest of the world still have to be met. And if they're not, then we get the kind of societal unrest that's showing up very seriously in many parts of the world. So there's that, and then there's the other 80% we're almost abdicating some of the benefits we've had in recent years past.
So, Tom Petrie, you mentioned America over the last 100 years. And as you know, one of the other shows that I have is my America's Veterans Stories. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had gotten a message from my cousin and said that my aunt was going to be 96 years old. Would we send her some birthday wishes? And she was married to my father's oldest brother, who was a World War II veteran. And I thought, you know what? I do not get the perspective of people that were home during World War II. And I so I arranged an interview with her. And it actually broadcast a week ago Sunday. And she talked about he came home from the war. They got married. And so I asked her about the Korean War. And she said, you know what? I really don't know. I don't remember that much, because by that time we were living out in the country. We did not have running water. We did not have indoor plumbing, and I had three little kids. So I didn't really pay that much attention to the, you know, what was going on with the Korean War. And Tom Petrie, I'm so grateful I got that interview, because my cousin texted me yesterday that my Aunt Irma, I think, decided it was time to move on. She decided to refuse food and water, and she passed on. And I'm so grateful to have gotten that interview. But it was just astounding to me to think just one generation what affordable and efficient and reliable energy has done, because she was so busy with no indoor plumbing and, you know, what they did there. So I just thought that was kind of a personal story that I wanted to share with people.
I know some very similar ones, and it really is the case that that's why understanding our history, understanding the great progress we've made, is an important part of appreciating what we have today, and not taking it for granted.
And as you had mentioned, what has really been, I think, an assault on affordable and reliable and efficient energy is we've seen it from a public policy standpoint. I heard somebody say in the oil and gas industry, it used to be that the real risk in the oil and gas industry was if you dug, were digging a hole for oil and gas, you might have a dry hole. And then it has moved over really to policy. And I thought that was a very interesting point that this particular person made.
And it comes about from what I was just saying. If we take it for granted, we'll find out the error of our ways.
That we will. So let's move over, because every month you've been giving us an update on what is happening in the oil and gas markets. So COVID-19, the Wuhan virus reaction disruption hit about the same time that Saudi Arabia and Russia decided to play around with oil supplies. And so it was really, really rocky back in March. What is happening now?
Well, through March, there was a lot of uncertainty. Would they put Humpty Dumpty back together again in terms of an orderly approach to facing the challenge, the supply-demand gap that we had? We looked into the abyss on the 20th of April when we had the commodity roll-off and oil closed at that time at minus $37 a barrel. Since then, we've had a very orderly, steady recovery. Excuse me. And basically, the recovery now has us in the low 40s, actually flirting with just under $43 a barrel today from WTI and just under 46 for Brent oil. And I'd say we're in a pretty good sweet spot where further recovery is likely. Yesterday, the Saudi Aramco the forecast was that they could see global demand recovering further now. And after that April debacle, both Russia and Saudi led the OPEC plus nations in a very disciplined cutback of a total of about 9.7 million barrels per day. That was through July. And then they announced to the market, having established some credibility about their discipline, actually doing what they said they would do and doing it a little sooner than they said they'd do it, that they were now going to experiment with reducing that cutback by about 2 million barrels a day over the next 6 months. They're in the first, at this point, we're now in the first 2 weeks of that, And the market has actually strengthened moderately from 40.41 to that $43 level that I just mentioned. So we're getting a recovery. I think there's good reasons to believe that there'll be more. President yesterday talked about a strong economic number that he expects in the third quarter. To the degree that unfolds that way, I think it'll reinforce that. And I think, at least for the moment, pending some other outcomes out there that are hard to predict right now, like the election, I think we probably have fairly clear sailing for oil to be working its way into the mid or possibly even the high 40s. As I've said in the past, I think the next test of how far up it can go would come if they cross into 50 range, because at that level, you begin to get some impacts on demand, more of a drag on economic activity, and also perhaps some self-correcting forces by the OPEC plus nations that don't want to see it go so high as to have to revisit what they saw in the first quarter of this year.
Well, this disruption that we saw, it was very difficult on a number of our domestic producers. And how is that working out in the markets right here in the United States?
Well, we've touched on it in the past. The number of companies that have more debt than they can handle, and with these still relatively low prices. Let's remember that in recent years we've seen oil spend a lot of time in the $60 to $80 range. So the adjustment that we're making is to that kind of level. So now we've seen 25 companies, independent producers, publicly traded, forced into bankruptcy or preemptively in some cases choosing that. The interesting thing that's happening is they're getting much more of a cooperative response from their debt holders these days. The owners of public debt learned a lesson from the 2015 debacle after the so-called Thanksgiving surprise, when oil prices plunged at that time from a price that was above 80 in the 90s, all the way down to $26.40. Well, those bankruptcies, the companies didn't completely convert their debt into equity. Most of the bondholders now are going much closer to a complete equitization, is the term, a complete conversion of debt into it, or a very large amount, such that the companies emerging, the 25 or so that are working, by and large are emerging very strongly. And those bondholders are now equity holders looking to earn equity-type returns. So there's some brightness at the end of the tunnel. The candidates that might still have to go through this, depending on just what happens third, fourth quarter, and the first half of next year, is still a larger group out there that could be impacted if we have a double dip or a so-called W-type recovery. And there's some reason to worry about that.
Okay. And the companies that are publicly traded that are doing this, is stock prices recovering, or what's happening in the market on that?
Yes, the market has embraced it rather quickly. Where they've come out and clearly identified what their plan is, and where there in some cases there's rather clear evidence that the new equity holders are looking to be constructive in that process. So some of the bankruptcies that were declared in March and April look to be emerging as soon as the 1st of September of this year. That's warp speed compared
yes.
to historic trends.
Wow. Okay. Tom Petrie, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, an oil and gas investment banking firm. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. Before we go to break, we have a couple of new partners at the Kim Munson Show. You heard Metropolitan Total Property Care. I've worked with them for over 30 years, as well as Castlegate Knives. And knives have been around since the Stone Age for good reason. They're functional, durable, and versatile, and they're an essential part of the All-American Toolkit. So whether you're a hunter, an angler, or an outdoorsman, you no doubt have a favorite knife or two that you can't live without. So where do you go when you want to add to that toolkit? Castlegate Knives. I've actually been out and been to the store, and it is very impressive. And recently had to get a wedding gift, and I got this beautiful set of steak knives that were manufactured in France. I was just really excited to give that to the bride and groom. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll continue our conversation with Tom Petrie, and we'll talk about the geopolitical things that are going on in the world right now. Tom has an excellent perspective on that. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our op-eds for that week. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. Greatly appreciate that. On the line with me is Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. This is our health and hydrocarbon show. Reliable, efficient, and affordable energy is what powers people's lives to be able to thrive and prosper. So it's really important to understand these issues. But on the big picture, Tom Petrie has a great perspective. He watches what's going on from a geopolitical standpoint. So, Tom, what do you think is going on today?
Well, we've got a lot of areas where pressures are building geopolitically. Certainly, one of the most important issues we're dealing with right now is the U.S.-Chinese relationship on trade. But it's broader than trade. China is challenging U.S. leadership globally in a way that is prompting a response that's deeper, more thoughtful, more firm than it has been traditionally. The South China Sea, the building of fortified islands in the South China Sea, and then the militarization of that those islands is very, very much a factor because it affects major trade routes throughout the Pacific Rim. In addition, we've got still a lot of uncertainty in the Middle East. There's a civil war going on in Libya, which has all kinds of implications for reliable sweet oil supplies for Europe, and there are bids there where traditional U.S. allies like Egypt and Saudi Arabia are backing the rebels versus NATO and the U.S. backing the Tripoli government. How that works itself out in the next year or two could have important implications for the geopolitics of oil, if you will. And then finally, there's just the alignment that's developed. In my book, Following Oil, I wrote about this a half decade ago, and it's just really strengthened since then. The alliance between Russia and China, where there's broadly assertive anti-U.S. Geopolitical moves made by those two countries. They've done combined operations, naval operations, in the South China Sea between China and Russia. And then over in the Indian Ocean, between China and Iran, a show of force has also developed, again challenging that naval source of stability that the U.S. traditionally provided since the end of World War II, certainly up through 9/11. But more recently, real challenges to that are beginning to develop. So those are going to be variables we're going to have to deal with in the new reality as we come out of the coronavirus pandemic.
When we were talking yesterday in preparation for the call, you mentioned Jimmy Lai had been arrested, you felt that that was a very important development that people needed to be aware of.
I do. It's part of that whole U.S.-China relationship. China has really decided to assert itself much earlier than people expected. It was understood under the 50-year agreement that the U.K. had negotiated with China that ultimately there was going to be a change in the relationship for Hong Kong with the mainland. But it's happening much sooner and much more aggressively being enforced by China. The laws that would enable China to extradite people from Hong Kong to mainland China if they're perceived as being subversive or anti-Communist Party. So all of that's there. Jimmy Lai was a high-profile person. He understood that this risk was there, and this is his statement to the world on the tragedy that's happening. Another thing that's less talked about is there's also been military operations across into the national waters of Taiwan, and interpreted by some, and I think perhaps correctly, a warning by China that once we consolidate our control of Hong Kong, you should assume that we're going to be talking to you more about how we view you as a dissident, former part of the mainland China. And to the degree that happens, we haven't had a real test of that since the Eisenhower administration, when there was strong U.S. objections to it and the Chinese backed off. But that's way over a half century ago. And now we're beginning to see a lead up that may well test U.S. resolve in that area as well. But basically that Chinese dominance of thought and lack of freedom of press is in the fore.
You know, it seems to me, Tom Petrie, that we here in America should unite around the American idea of, you know, in the Constitution, all these things, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. And we saw this, you know, with those protesters in Hong Kong that were protesting exactly what you said, and that was the extradition from Hong Kong to mainland China. You know, if for some reason they were considered a dissident. And so I thought that there had been progress that had occurred on that, you know, with all the protestations, but it looks like that's not the case now. I mean, they are really coming in with an iron fist with these folks, right?
They are. And to put it in perspective, in the first half of 1967, I was a senior at West Point studying the Cultural Revolution. Deng Xiaoping, who became just over a decade later top leader in China, was actually arrested during the Cultural Revolution and sent to a re-education camp. And then when he came out, he became a rising star in the party because of the revulsion to the last years of Chairman Mao. And then two more successors after him, yeah, they carried on that liberalization. We bought into it. I was there in 1983, and the evidence of Deng Xiaoping wanting to change China in a way that would bring it more into the cultural mainstream of other leading nations in the world. But then most recently, there's been a real step in the other direction. Certainly the naming of Chairman Xi as president for life represented a step back to more of a Mao-type approach, but with a lot of liberalization in the economy, but very much a top-down model. And that model, we're going to see that tested, how well that'll work, whether it suppresses creativity, innovation, and economic growth.
Okay, so Tom Petrie, we just have a couple of minutes left. What would be the final thought that you want to leave with our listeners today as we're moving into the day?
Well, I think it's really important that we continue to have a faith in our markets and how they function. You know, early this spring, it was easy to be pretty pessimistic. You know, we're in an election year with a lot of signs of discontent and valid discontent in many cases. Even in the face of that, we've had markets that have proved more resilient and more willing to adapt and address some of the problems, some of the challenges, and figure out where there's opportunity, even when there's great cultural unrest. So I think having faith in the openness of our markets and the creative human tendency to face challenges forthrightly is still very valid as a value to both have and pursue.
Well, and just continue on one step in front of the other. When we were talking back in April and oil was at a negative price, you know, I had a big lump in my stomach. But, you know, as you mentioned, we need to remember the creativity and innovation of the American spirit. You know, an affordable, reliable, and efficient energy has brought more people out of poverty and helped them, you know, go after their hopes and dreams. And we want it for us, and we want it for those throughout the world. So, Tom Petrie, Petrie Partners, thank you so much. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Have a good day yourself.
Okay. And our quote for today is Ray Bourque. And again, he won his only Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche after playing for the Boston Bruins for many, many years. He says, "I don't like losing. Being a competitive player, it's not a good feeling. I was trying to do everything I could do, get a big hit or make a good play or get something going. That's the style I always play." So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.